Okay, let's turn our attention now to Colossians chapter 3 and read our text one more time, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to open your word, and we pray that you would bless our time seeking to understand your truth. May your Holy Spirit enlighten and illuminate our minds and our hearts. And we thank you for this time that we also have to sing. Help us to grow in our ability and understanding in singing praise to your name according to your word. And Lord, thank you for each person that's here tonight, and I pray your blessing on this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we continue our study tonight of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. And last time I told you that we will spend some time tonight talking about psalmody. Psalmody is just a fancy way of saying singing the psalms. So when we talk about psalmody, we're talking about the singing of the Old Testament psalms. The reason for that is because Colossians 3 and verse 16 brings this specifically to our attention in this call to sing the Old Testament psalms. And I hope to show that to you tonight from this passage. Just a quick review of what we covered last time. So last time we began to think about this middle clause of verse 16, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. How are we supposed to teach? To admonish each other, we're supposed to do it through music, and Paul gives us three specific items, musical items, that we are to utilize to teach and instruct one another, and we'll see next time, sing with gratitude or thankfulness in our hearts to the Lord. So we talked about these three terms last time, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, so let's just review that for just a moment. First of all, psalms, we said, was a direct reference to the Old Testament book of Psalms. That the word, the Greek word, psalmos, refers predominantly to the Old Testament Psalms. So, for example, when someone cites the book of Psalms in the Old Testament, whether that's Jesus or one of the apostles, the word that's used is psalmos in the Greek. It's the same word that's used here in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. The second one there is hymns. We talked about hymns and the use of that word, the Greek word hymnos. And that word appears here in Colossians 3:16 and also in Ephesians 5, verse 19. But it's used as a verb in other places in the New Testament. For example, when Jesus and the disciples finish the Last Supper, they sing a hymn. Most likely, they are singing not some hymn they came up with spontaneously, but one of the Old Testament psalms, or more than one of the Old Testament psalms at the close of the Last Supper. The third item there is spiritual songs, and we said that word for songs there is kind of the generic word for songs. It's the word we get our English word ode from, and Paul modifies that with the word spiritual. So Christians are to sing spiritual songs, songs of a sacred nature, songs that ultimately come from the Holy Spirit of God. So those are our three musical items, and I left you with the question of what is Paul talking about here? Is he talking about three different kinds of music, or is he basically talking about one kind of music? So that's where we want to pick up tonight and talk about what is Paul talking about specifically when he says that we're to teach and admonish one another in these three ways or with these three musical items. Now, the first thing I'll say is that this is debated. Don't you love that? All sorts of things are debated, and this is one that's debated. And so I'll try to limit our discussion of the debate around these three terms and just pinpoint what I think is very clear and not debatable at all, and that is that at the very least, the Apostle Paul is telling us to sing the Old Testament book of Psalms. And I'll show you why I think that. We've discussed some of that already in our discussion last week and in the review that we just did. The first thing to think about again is this word here, Psalms. Now, if you go back to the Old Testament and you look at the titles for your books in the Old Testament, the titles for those books don't come from the Hebrew, first and foremost. They come from the Greek language. So the reason for that is this, the Septuagint. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. You say, Pastor Nick, I've never heard of that before. That's okay. That's why we're here. We're here to learn, okay? Now, maybe you've heard me reference that before. It's an important translation of the Bible, at least of the Old Testament, and it helps us understand what the Apostle Paul is talking about here in this passage. So your English title for your Old Testament book of Psalms is derived from the Greek language that comes from the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, also known as the LXX. That's the abbreviation for the Septuagint. So when you go back and you look at the title of the book of Psalms, it's the same word used here in Colossians 3:16. In addition to that, what we want to do is look now at the book of Psalms itself, and I want to show you how these three words in the Greek language are used in the book of Psalms itself to describe the Psalms. Okay? So keep your finger in Colossians 3:16 and go back to Psalm 66. Psalm 66. And we'll just look at a couple of examples of this. Psalm 66. Okay, Psalm 66, you see the title there is "To the Chief Musician, a Song or Psalm." Now remember I told you last time that the titles to the Psalms are actually verse 1. In the Hebrew Old Testament. So the English translations we have set it off and make verse 1 what comes after. But in the original Hebrew language, the title that we just read at the head of Psalm 66 is the first verse. Now when the Septuagint, the translators of the Septuagint, came to these Psalms and to the Old Testament, what words did they use to translate a song or a psalm? Well, guess what? They use the same words the Apostle Paul uses in Colossians 3:16. The word for song there is ode, that Greek word that we saw used in Colossians 3:16. And the word for psalm in that title is psalmos. So you see those two words being used interchangeably as a way to describe what follows in Psalm 66. All right, one more example. This is Psalm 76. Psalm 76. And again, we're going to look at the title of Psalm 76. You'll see it there as "To the Chief Musician on Neginoth, a Psalm or Song of Asaph." Now here, all three words that the Apostle Paul uses in Colossians 3:16 are used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. The three words behind psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs in Colossians 3, verse 16, are used in Psalm 76 in the Greek translation. Now, why did we do that? We did that to show that when the Apostle Paul writes in the Greek language, that if we want to understand the Hebrew reference for that in the Old Testament, the Septuagint helps us make the connection between what Paul is talking about and the Old Testament book of Psalms. Okay, so our conclusion is that when Paul speaks of singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, that those three items, those three words, were used in his day and before to refer to the Old Testament book of Psalms. Sometimes they would be called a psalm, sometimes they would be called a hymn, sometimes they would be called songs. The words were used somewhat interchangeably, all to refer to the Old Testament book of Psalms or to individual psalms within that book. All right. So I hope that's clear as mud. Here's our second reason for a new hymnal. Now, I gave you the first reason 2 weeks ago on why we selected a new hymnal, and that was that we wanted to sing sound doctrine. We wanted to sing music that has the best biblical content that we can possibly have. We want our music to match our theology, what we believe the Bible says about election, for example. So that's why we selected this new hymn book. The second reason is because we want to sing the Psalms. That's why. Now, if you've noticed already, this is a kind of a combination hymnal. So if you read the front, the title, it's entitled the Trinity Psalter Hymnal. The reason for that is it's two things in one. The first portion of the book are the 150 Psalms of the Old Testament arranged and set to music so that we can sing them. The second half of the book are standard English hymns that we would be familiar with and we would sing. So that's the reason for this. The Apostle Paul calls upon us specifically to sing the Psalms, and so we want to do that. In obedience to Scripture, we want to sing the Old Testament Psalms. Now let's broaden out a little bit and think about why we would do such a thing. Okay? Now, we really don't have to do this because we have our scriptural warrant, right? The Apostle Paul just told us, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And the first and primary reference there is the Old Testament book of Psalms. So we could stop right there if we wanted to. But I want to give you more reasons as to why we should sing the Old Testament book of Psalms. So I've got 600 reasons up here. No, I'm just kidding. I've got 6 reasons for why we should sing the Old Testament book of Psalms. And let's go through these tonight and think about why we would sing the Psalms. First of all, one note before I go into that. You'll see on the front of this Psalter. Psalter is just another word for the book of Psalms. Okay? Means the same basic thing. Okay, so why would we sing the Psalter or the book of Psalms? Number one, the nature of the book itself. This is what the book of Psalms is. It is a collection of sacred and inspired songs. The word psalm itself originally meant a piece of music that was set to the strumming of an instrument, like a harp, for example. So you can think of David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, plucking the strings on his harp and writing these psalms out, writing these songs out. That's what a psalm is. It is a psalm. Now, it's other things as well, right? The Old Testament book of Psalms has been called a prayer book, and people have used it in that way to frame their prayers to God, and that's good, that's right. But right at the root of what the book of Psalms is it is a book of songs, and songs that are meant to be sung. So that's number one. Number two, the book of Psalms is in the Bible. It's the canonical hymn book of the Christian church. Now remember, I told you, I think last week, that when we open our hymnals, we have to be discerning. And we have to think about what we're singing. And sometimes we might have to say, they don't put that in the best way. Or that's not an accurate thing to sing. That's not a right thing to sing. Sometimes I'll be listening to a piece of music, sometimes like a contemporary piece of music, and I'm listening for what they're saying and what the meaning of the song is. And it could be a really good song and have true biblical content, and then they throw one thing in, and I think, oh, boy, you ruined that, didn't you? I can't sing that. Why did you put that in there? Well, that's because those things aren't inspired. They're not God's word. And so why would we do such a thing as criticize a hymn? Well, because it's not scripture. And so we have to do that sometimes and say, well, we've got to reject this hymn, or we've got to modify this statement, or maybe we don't sing that line, or what have you. But when it comes to the book of Psalms, guess what? You don't have to do that. We don't open the book of Psalms and say, wow, David just missed it on that one. Why? Because not just David who wrote the psalm, he wrote the psalm under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, right? So that the product was the very word of God. So when we sing the psalms, we are singing one of the books in the canon, Holy Scripture, which is above criticism. There is no error. There's nothing bad, harmful, all right, and good and godly. Thirdly, when we sing the Psalms, we sing the Word of God. So when we open up our Psalter and we sing the Psalm, Psalm 95 that we sang tonight, we're singing God's Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:16, and of course that includes the Psalter. Includes the Old Testament book of Psalms. And think about the context here in Colossians 3:16. Look again with me at Colossians 3:16. And at the start of the verse, Paul gives us the main command. Main command of the verse is, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And we said that that could be interpreted in such a way as to refer generally to the word of God. That this is the goal. The goal is to have the Word of God in your heart, in your mind, in your church. So when we sing the book of Psalms, guess what we're doing? We're getting the Word of God in our hearts, in our minds, and in our church. The inspired Word of God. Number four, when we sing the Psalms, we sing about the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, really, Pastor Nick? How is that? Well, think about the book of Psalms and how important it is in the New Testament. When the person of Jesus is being spoken of, something about Jesus, so many times the reference comes from the Psalms, from the Old Testament Psalms. For example, Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Who's that about? It's about Jesus. Or if you want to think about the death and resurrection of Christ, you find that in the Psalms. Think about Psalm 22. When we sing Psalm 22, we are singing a psalm that is prophetic of Jesus and what he would come to do on the cross. Or what about the resurrection of Jesus? We could go to Psalm 16 and sing Psalm 16 and how David says, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Who is that ultimately about? It's about Jesus. So when we sing the Psalms, we are singing about Christ. We're singing about his person and his work of salvation. Number five, when we sing the Psalms, we are getting a breadth of music, a wide range of music. The Psalms deal with so many different areas of human life and emotion and experience. Let me give you a few examples. If you are joyful, happy, and you're ready to praise God, the Psalms provide the music for you to sing. They provide songs of joy and praise. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. We may not be able to sing, but we can make a joyful noise unto the Lord, right? So when we sing the Psalms, they give us that opportunity to express that joy that we have in God and all that he's done for us. Or if we wanted to sing a song of gratitude, we wanted to say thank you to God, and we wanted to say it and sing it to him in the very words of Scripture, then we could go to Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. What if we were victims of injustice? Or we were dealing with some situation of injustice? The Psalms have songs that are cries for justice, cries for God to do something about the wicked, to do something about the evildoer who is treating people wrongly and badly. Psalm 82, defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. So there are songs in which you can call upon God for justice, for him to do justice. What about when you are in trouble and your heart is heavy? What do you sing then? And now I'm happy all the day. That doesn't really work very well. You mouth the words, but it's not really true. Well, the Psalter, the Book of Psalms, has songs for when your heart is heavy, for when you are experiencing sorrow or trouble. And there's plenty of them. Just think about David and all the difficulties and evils that he had to go through. And he often poured his heart out to God in the Psalms. Psalm 31. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. What if we have sin to confess? Is there a song that would help us confess that sin to God? Yes. Can you think of a psalm in the Old Testament that would be perfect for that? About Psalm 51. Right? The David's confession of his sin with Bathsheba. Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me truly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. So when we sing the Psalms, we could sing that. We could sing that as a confession of our sin to God. So the Psalms have this breadth to them, this large scope of dealing with so many different situations and experiences in life. Sixth and finally, when we sing the Psalms, we are a part of history. We are a part of the history of the church, a history that stretches all the way back into the Old Testament with David, for example. The Jews sung the Psalms. David penned them as songs. And so the Jewish people would have sung the Psalms in the time of Christ and well before that. So we could trace psalm singing all the way back to someone like David and in the days and times of David and then all the way up to the time of Christ. What about the early church? What about the period after the time of the apostles, roughly 100 AD to 500 AD? What did people sing back then? You ever wonder that? One time I flipped through the hymn book at a church and just looked at the time period for most of the hymns. And the time period mostly, predominantly, was the 19th century, the 1800s. And I wondered to myself, what did Christians sing before 1850? What did Augustine and Jerome and all those folks, those Christians that were persecuted by the Roman Empire, what were they singing during those days? Answer? They were singing the Psalms. They were singing the Old Testament Psalms. Jerome describes how people used the Psalms in this way. The Psalms were continually to be heard in the fields and vineyards of Palestine. The plowman, as he held his plow, chanted the Hallelujah. And the reaper, the vine dresser, and the shepherd sang something from the Psalms of David. Where the meadows were colored with flowers and the singing birds made their plaints, the Psalms sounded even more sweetly. So Jerome says, everybody everywhere singing the Psalms of David. Even as people are doing their work in the fields, they're singing the Psalms. To give you another example, during the period of the Reformation, what did Calvin and Luther and others sing? Well, we know that Luther penned some of his own hymns. We'll leave that aside for just a moment. But we also know that they sang the Psalms. They took the Psalms and they put them into a format that would allow them to be sung. We call that metrical Psalms or a metrical Psalter. John Calvin puts it this way. Therefore, even after we have carefully searched everywhere, we shall not find better or more appropriate songs to this end than the Psalms of David, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And for this reason, when we sing them, we are assured that God puts the words in our mouth as if he himself were singing through us to exalt his glory. So at the time of the Reformation, the reformers and the churches that came from that movement were singing the Psalms. Or to take one of our personal favorites, what about Charles Spurgeon? What did they sing at the Metropolitan Tabernacle? Well, you say they sang hymns. Well, they did. They sang hymns in English, but guess what else they sang? They sang the Psalms as well. If you look at the hymn book that Spurgeon used in the church, the first half of it is just like this. It's the 150 Psalms, and then after that are hymns in English by, you know, someone like Isaac Watts, for example. The first book published in America, do you know what it was? It was the Bay Psalm Book. It was a Psalter. It was a book published to allow early American Christians to sing the Psalms. The pilgrims who came over on the Mayflower, one of the books that they had with them was the Ainsworth Psalter. They brought it with them so they could sing the Psalms. Now, in the modern church, there are churches who have sung the Psalms and do it even today. Our Presbyterian and Reformed friends, congregations like that, have been singing the Psalms. In my Greek exegesis class, you said, Greek what? This is the class where we learn the Greek language in seminary. And at the start of the class, every day, we would sing a psalm together. And so the Presbyterians introduced this old Baptist to the singing of psalms. God bless them. So I hope that gives you a little bit of flavor for the history of the church, and that the modern church is a bit out of step with our forefathers in not singing the psalms. And so I also hope that our reasons for doing so, as we've laid them out here and as we've seen it in Colossians 3:16, are an encouragement to you to join together with us in singing the Psalms. Now, some of them we will know how to sing already just by virtue of a common tune. Some of them we will have to learn, and that'll take a little bit of work. But I'm willing to work if you are. I'm willing to learn alongside of you to sing the Psalms.